2 Kings chapter number 18. 2 Kings chapter number 18. And I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning from this passage of Scripture. More than likely, this will be a familiar story and a familiar passage, but hopefully the Lord will help us to find a good truth in it for this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 18. Let's stand and stretch our legs. If you're able to, if you want to, you're welcome to stand. You don't have to, but let's do that. Stretch our legs for a minute, and maybe it'll help us this morning with the message. 2 Kings chapter number 18, and let's begin our reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abi, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. And he removed the high places, and brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. And he smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof, and the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. And it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, which was the 7th year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years they took it, even in the 6th year of Hezekiah, that is the 9th year of Hosea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel into Assyria, and put them in Halah, even into Habar, by the river of Gozan, in the city of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Shinebuchadnezzar, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them." Father, I pray that you'd help us over the next few minutes. God, give us the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. For the past several years, I have tried to make it one of my personal goals to read completely through my Bible every year. I'm ashamed to say that I spent many years as a Christian without ever reading completely through my Bible. I'm ashamed of that. But I've started in the past several years to try to begin in Genesis and move my way through Revelation. And as I have done so, I have discovered that, having read through my Bible several times now, that the stories and the flow of the Bible have become somewhat familiar. Because of this familiarity, I will begin to read a story, and before I get to the end of the story, I kind of know how it's going to go. And honestly, there are stories in the Bible that I read that bring me joy and I rejoice in, because I know that before the story is over, there's going to be great victory, and that's a thrilling thing. And there are other stories that I read in the Bible that as I begin to read them, I am emotionally disturbed, because I know that something's going to happen in that story that is going to be evil and vile and wicked, and it bothers me. There are other times that I will read and I will question the choices that are made, and I'm puzzled by what I read. Not every story moves me, but some of them do. And the story of Hezekiah is one of those stories that move me. I love the story of Hezekiah. I love the story of Hezekiah because it is a story of redemption. If you read through 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and 2 Kings, it seems like you're presented with one bad story after another, one bad king after another bad king. Over and over again, you'll read phrases like this, "And he walked not after the Lord." Or maybe you'll read this, "And he walked in the sin of Jeroboam." Or maybe you'll read this, "And he worshiped Baal and he removed not the high places." It's seemingly one bad story after another bad story. But when you come to the story of Hezekiah, you read this in verse number 3. "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did." Hezekiah was different than those that came before him. Hezekiah loved the Lord, and Hezekiah followed the Lord just like David followed the Lord. It was Hezekiah that opened the doors of the house of God that his father had closed. It was Hezekiah that broke down the high places and destroyed the idols out of the land. It was Hezekiah that led both Judah and Israel to celebrate Passover after they had not celebrated it for many years. In fact, verse 6 and verse 7 says that he trusted God more than any other king before him. He clave to the Lord, verse number 6, kept his commandments in his heart, and the Lord was with him, verse number 7, and he prospered in all that he did. You see, in the midst of the darkness that was around him, Hezekiah was a shining light. And I love the story of Hezekiah. I love the story of Hezekiah because it is not only a story of redemption, but the story of Hezekiah is the story of overcoming impossible odds. Hezekiah's story is a story of overcoming impossible situations by the help of the Lord. Three times in the life of Hezekiah, he is delivered in such a fashion that it is evident and it is obvious that God is the one that did the overcoming. God did miracles in his life. Twice Hezekiah was delivered from the hand of his enemies, and once he was delivered by sickness that was promising certain death. This is a story of overcoming impossible odds. Do you know why I like this story so much of overcoming impossible odds? Because the reality is that I myself face obstacles and I face challenges in my life that oftentimes seem impossible, seem like they cannot be overcome. And I deal with things that seemingly are bigger than me and mightier than me, and I cannot simply overcome them. That is sometimes my story. So when I look at Hezekiah and see that God helped him overcome impossible odds, I can be encouraged, because if God could help Hezekiah, then surely God can help me. The truth is that I face enemies and I face sickness and I face challenges, and it is encouraging to see someone else go through these things and overcome them by the help of the Lord. And it is this part of the story of Hezekiah that has my attention this morning. I want to preach for just a minute on this thought: overcoming impossible odds. Overcoming impossible odds. Now I want you to write the three things down I'm going to give you. One will build upon the other. There are three things that I want you to see from our text. Number one, write this down. I want you to see Hezekiah's blunder. I want you to see Hezekiah's blunder. Look at verse number 14, if you will, please. "And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me I will bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. And at that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord, and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Now, if you study this period of history, you'll discover that Assyria was in the process of overcoming many of their enemies, much of the world. Soon, Assyria will be taken over by Babylon, and Babylon will take over the world. But at this time, Assyria was mighty and had a lot of power. And according to chapter number 16 of 2 Samuel, or 2 Kings, according to chapter 16, Hezekiah's father was faced with an Assyrian army, and he chose, instead of fighting, to become a tributary to them and pay them, basically, for their protection. He began to pay tribute to the Assyrians. Now, according to chapter number 18, where we read this morning for our text, the Assyrians have come back, and they've begun to fight. According to chapter number 18, they began to fight with Israel, and they take Samaria. Samaria was the capital city of Israel, and they fight with Israel, and they take Israel. But while Assyria is battling Israel, Hezekiah is having victories in Judah. Hezekiah is rebelling against Assyria, and he is pushing back the Philistines. It seems like everything is great in the kingdom and in the life of Hezekiah. Other people are being fought against, taken over, but he is fighting and winning battles. But then something happens, and this is what I want you to see. When the Assyrians get finished with the neighboring tribes of Israel, they decide to come next door to Judah. And they begin to come to Judah, and they knock on the door, and this is what they say. Hezekiah, we've noticed you haven't paid your bills in a while, and we want you to pay up. It is time, Hezekiah, to pay tribute for the tribute that you've not paid in years. Now, after everything I've told you about Hezekiah, you would think and you would hope that Hezekiah would say, it's not going to happen. I am not going to bow to the enemy. I am not going to pay you off. I am going to stand firm in my faith of Jehovah God. I'm going to do the right thing in this situation. But do you know what we read Hezekiah does? Instead, we read that Hezekiah gives the Assyrians all of the silver that is in the house of God, all of the silver that is in the king's house, and he even goes as far as to cut the doors off the church house that are overlaid with gold and give them to the Assyrians. He basically buckled and he basically folded and gave them exactly what it was that they were looking for. Hezekiah paid them, according to verse number 15 and 16, 11 tons of silver and 1 ton of gold, hoping that the enemy would just go away. Now you think about something with me for a minute. The Bible said in verse number 3 that Hezekiah walked after the way of David his father, does it not? It said he walked in the way of David. But David wouldn't have bowed down to an enemy. David didn't buckle before an enemy. If you wanted to fight, you come to David. He was always looking for a fight. David didn't buckle to anybody. But now Hezekiah is buckling to the enemy. The Bible says that he gave in and he acted more like his father Ahaz than his great-great-great-grandfather David did. In fact, the name Hezekiah means the Lord strengthens, but he's not depending on the Lord's strength in our text. He just gives them what they ask for. That seems so out of character. It seems so out of character with everything else we know about Hezekiah. But before we judge him too bad, before we judge him too harshly, could we consider ourselves for a moment? How many times have we tried to deal with situations in our life by ourselves when we should be trusting the Lord in those situations? We have heard sermon after sermon of how we're supposed to trust the Lord, and when the preacher says it, we say, amen, preacher. And then a situation arises and we try to fix it on our own. We read our Bibles and we read story after story where God delivered his people. And we say, oh, yes, I believe that. And when the enemy comes, we just try to deal with it on our own. We can see in our past how that God has delivered us time and again from situation after situation. But when the new thing comes, we try to deal with it all on our own. This is exactly what Hezekiah does. Hezekiah tried to handle the situation all on his own. I'm going to say something right here, and I hope I don't say anything out of turn or out of character, and I hope it don't hurt your feelings. But I was thinking about something this week. I've been in church most of my life since I was 14. I've been in church most of my life. And in that time, I've heard a lot of things said inside of church houses. And I'll be honest with you, not everything I've heard said makes really good sense when I think about it. For example, how many of y'all have heard this? God doesn't help anybody that's not willing to help themselves. You've heard that, haven't you? God doesn't help anybody that's willing. And we say, okay, that means I've got to get at it, and I've got to do it, and I've got to try to help myself. Because if I don't try to help myself, then God's not going to help me. We've heard that, haven't we? But then we'll come into the next church service, and somebody will say, you got to just give it all to God. Everything you're dealing with, you got to stop trying to fix it on your own and give it all to God. Oh, we've heard that, haven't we? Now, hold on a minute. If I'm supposed to give it all to God and not try to fix it on my own, but at the same time God doesn't help those that don't help themselves, that how does that work again? Maybe you got that figured out, but I've not got that figured out. Could it be that the answer is found somewhere in the middle of those two things? Could it be that we should do the things that we can do and then trust God with the things that we can't do? Could it be that when you try to handle things all on your own, you are making a mistake, but when you just sit around and do nothing, sometimes you're making a mistake? Paul wrote to the churches and said, pray that an open door is given to me to preach the gospel. And then you know what he did? He grabbed his Bible and he went out and preached the gospel. David stood before a giant and he said, this is not my battle, this is God's battle, and God's going to deliver the Philistine into my hand. And then he went out and got 5 smooth stones. David did what David could do, and then he trusted God to do what God could do. Do you know what Hezekiah's blunder was? Hezekiah's blunder was that he tried to do it all on his own. He did not trust God. He did not lean on God. He just saw a problem and said, I'm going to just try to make this problem go away. And so many times we've done the same. How much better would it be for us to turn to the Lord when we face challenges instead of trying to deal with them all on our own? Oh, I see Hezekiah's blunder, but I want you to see this, number two. Not only do I see Hezekiah's blunder, but I see the Lord's battle. I see the Lord's battle. The Bible says, and it came to pass when Hezekiah heard it, chapter 19, verse 1. When Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went to the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, but there's no strength to bring forth. And it may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words. Do you see this now? He is praying. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria's master hath sent to reproach the living God. and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Therefore lift up thy voice, lift up thy prayer unto the remnant that are left. Now I want you to notice the way this story progresses. Let me fill in the blanks between chapter 18 and chapter 19. When Hezekiah pays the tribute money, gives them the gold and gives them the silver, the enemy leaves, but it does not take long for the enemy to return. Hezekiah did everything in his power to handle the situation, but he was not able to handle the situation alone. When the enemy left, Hezekiah thought, I handled it by myself, but it wasn't long before the problem came back. And isn't that what happens when we try to handle situations on our own? If you study 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Isaiah, you'll discover that in the timeline of history, when the Assyrians leave, Hezekiah is faced with his second great challenge. Hezekiah, according to 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Isaiah, becomes sick to the point of death. In fact, there are some that believe that God gave Hezekiah the sickness because of his compromise when faced with the Assyrians. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But when the man of God Isaiah shows up and tells you, get your affairs in order, big boy, you're going to die. That's serious business. When Isaiah tells Hezekiah that he's sick and he's going to die, we know what Hezekiah does, don't we? The Bible says he turned his face to the wall and he began to pray. He began to pray and he began to claim the promises of God for himself. And in response, God sends Isaiah back and says, I'm going to give you 15 more years of life. And oh, by the way, the Assyrians will come again, but they will not take you. I will protect you. When the first challenge comes, Hezekiah tried to fix it himself and failed. So you know what God does now? God puts him in a position where he can't do anything about his situation and he has to learn to trust the Lord. Oftentimes we think that the chastening of God is the chastening of some great judge that's bringing judgment and sentence upon us. But could it be that the chastening of the Lord is just as much an act of love by Heavenly Father as the blessings of the Lord are an act of love by Heavenly Father? Hezekiah was a good man and he was a godly man, but he made mistakes. And so God allows him to get sick and puts him in a position that he will have to trust God today. And if he learns to trust God today, he will be able to trust God in the future. There are people sitting under the sound of my voice this morning that God has put you in positions that you had no other choice but to trust the Lord. And you didn't understand it when it happened. And you kicked against it when it happened. And you wanted it to go away when it happened. But God put you there, not because he's a mean, cruel judge, but because he's a loving father. And he was teaching you something that day that would help you in the future. He was teaching you that if you can trust me with this, you can trust me with anything. When the enemy came, do you see it? When the enemy came, Hezekiah thought, I can handle it. And now God's putting him in a position where he can't handle it. Because the enemy's going to come back. The enemy will return. There will be another battle to face. And Hezekiah's going to have to learn some things. And we've got to learn some things. Sometimes it takes sickness, and sometimes it takes job loss, and sometimes it takes emotional distress, and sometimes it takes problems, and sometimes it takes difficulties, and sometimes it takes storms. But in those storms, we learn to trust God. Because God puts us somewhere to where we say, I can't fix it. And that brings us the most distress, does it not? I can't fix this, God. And God's saying, that's exactly what I was hoping for. I'm glad you finally got it. According to verse number 17, sometime after the sickness of Hezekiah, the Assyrian king comes against Jerusalem again. Chapter 18, verse 17. The last time the Assyrians came, Hezekiah tried to handle it on his own accord. Now he handles it different. If you're taking notes, let me give you two sub-points. I've tried to give up all my sub-points, but two of them found their way into my sermon. I want you to see Hezekiah's preparedness. Now, I'm not going to read this, but if you read the first verses of chapter number 19, you'll discover that Hezekiah began to do things to prepare for the Assyrians' return. The Bible says that he shored up the walls and he cut off the water supply and he fortified his cities. Hezekiah is going to trust God when the enemy gets there, but he does everything he can to prepare himself before the enemy gets there. Allow me to say that we must prepare ourselves for when the enemy comes. We have to be ready. We've got to read our Bibles and we've got to pray and we've got to be faithful to church and we've got to listen to the preacher and we've got to give in the offerings and we've got to do all of these things, not to fight off the battle, fight off the enemy, but to just be ready when the enemy gets there. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it was, put on the whole armor of God. You know when you put that armor on, you put it on today. You say, well, preacher, I'm not fighting a battle today. No, but if you wait till the enemy gets there and is on top of you, it's too late to put the armor on then. I would hate to think that I was a soldier and someone come against me and they begin to overtake me and I had to say, now, wait a minute. Give me a timeout. Give me a few minutes to get my armor on. No. You're going to die. Yeah. But do you know what we do spiritually? We wait till the enemy gets on top of us, and then we say, hey, devil, give me a few minutes to get my armor on. Oh, yeah, we'll have difficulties, and we'll have hard times, and we'll have problems, and then we start to pray. And then we start to read our Bible. And then we start to come to church. Wouldn't it be better to read our Bible and pray and come to church and do the things we're supposed to do previous to the enemy showing up? So Hezekiah prepares. I see his preparedness, but I see his perception. When the Assyrians gather around the city again to try to discuss things and work things out, the Assyrian begins to boast about his power and boast about his might, and he begins to talk about the God of Hezekiah. He tells them he'll cut off their food supply and they'll starve to death if they don't bow. And he gives this big, bad, mean speech outside of the city of Jerusalem. And the Assyrian says a lot of scary words, but the only problem is that Hezekiah has heard God's word. And Hezekiah ain't paying this time. In fact, notice what he does. Chapter 19, verse 1. Hezekiah goes to the Lord's house. Last time he cut the doors off the Lord's house. Now he's going to the Lord's house. Verse number 2, he goes to God in prayer. Verse number 4, he says this. He said in verse 4, the king of Assyria's master hath sent to reproach the living God. He said at the end of verse number 6, the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. That is God speaking. You see, Hezekiah realized something. Hezekiah realized this wasn't his fight to fight. He was going to give it to God. Oh, I said it a minute ago. I'll say it again and we'll move on. We are fighting battles that are not our battles to fight. We are trying to deal with things that we cannot deal with. Oh, I believe we have to have a spirit of preparedness. But it's the Lord's, it's not ours. There are people that are struggling to put food on their table for their family. And I believe that we should work. And I believe that we should get after it and do everything that we can. But I also believe we should trust the Lord. Because it was God that said, take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about food and don't worry about raiment. Just seek me first and I'll provide all of those things. There are people that are worrying over their children and their grandchildren. And I believe we've got to be prepared, do what we can do. We've got to talk to them, and we've got to be a good example in front of them, and we've got to share Christ with them. But at the same time, we've got to give them to God and let God have them. And can I say that those two things are not mutually exclusive? Just because you give them to God doesn't mean you don't pray over them and talk to them and try to win them. Even in our churches, we are to witness and we are to work to see the church grow and prosper. But at the same time, it was the Lord that said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Let me show you one more thing and I'll let you go. I see Hezekiah's blunder. I see the Lord's battle. When the enemy returns, Hezekiah says, this is not my fight. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get the man of God. I'm going to deal with this differently this time. And then I want you to see, last of all, the lesson's benefit. Verse 14 says of chapter 19, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Now let me show you one last thing. When the Assyrian army begins to come against Israel, Hezekiah goes to the Lord's house. Hezekiah prays. He gets Isaiah. And Isaiah says, God's going to deal with this. God will send a rumor or a blast, and the Assyrians will leave. And they do. They get a rumor that another army is going to come fight with Judah, and they're not prepared to fight two enemies, and so they retreat. But as they retreat, the Bible says that a letter shows up addressed to Hezekiah. Now I can see Hezekiah as the Assyrian army begins to retreat and the Assyrian army begins to leave. I'm sure that he was so thrilled and he celebrated because the enemy was leaving. He had trusted God and God had done a miracle in his life. Everything was great. But then this letter shows up. And the letter is from the Assyrians, and this is what it says. It says, basically, we're leaving for now, but we'll be back. And don't think, lean on a bruised reed, which was Egypt. Don't think that Egypt will help you. And don't think that your God will help you either. Because we've whooped every other god we faced, and yours won't be any different. That's what the Assyrians say. Read it for yourself. When Hezekiah gets the letter, Hezekiah goes to the house of God and lays the letter out for the Lord to see. At this point, Hezekiah had learned that this was not his battle, this was God's battle, and that God had been faithful. And he turns to God one more time. The reason I is because of this. We've all been where Hezekiah is. We have overcome a challenge only to discover that a new challenge comes. In fact, there are some of us that have overcome a challenge, and then it wasn't long before that same challenge returned. Right? Am I right or not? When we overcome the challenge, we're excited, we're thrilled, God has helped us, God fought the battle, God delivered us. But when the challenge returns, we begin to question. We begin to say things like this. Well, did God really even help me the first time? If this is going to return, then what's the use in me even praying and trusting God? Well, if the enemy's going to come back, then what's the use? But instead of having this attitude, notice the attitude Hezekiah has. Hezekiah is more determined than ever to trust the Lord. In fact, the first time the enemy came, he sent for Isaiah and said, Isaiah, you go talk to God about this. But when the enemy comes back the second time, Hezekiah just goes and talks to the Lord about it. You see, Hezekiah could have said, what's the use trusting God if these Assyrians are just going to keep coming back? But instead, you know what Hezekiah said? Hezekiah said, the last time this enemy was here, God helped me with it. And if God helped me with it yesterday, then surely God will help me with it today. In fact, the enemy returning did not make him discouraged. It made him encouraged, and he trusted God even greater the next time. Amen. There are going to be battles that it seems like you fight over and over again. But you cannot let that battle discourage you. Instead, you've got to learn to trust the Lord more today than you did yesterday. Because if God helped yesterday, God will surely help again today. Amen. And Hezekiah said, I won't be discouraged and I won't be dismayed. I'm not paying the enemy again. God helped me the last time they were here, and God will help me this time. God sends word to Hezekiah that says, I saw the letter, Hezekiah. I read it. I don't like it. In fact, I'm a little mad about it, Hezekiah. And I'm going to deal with it. Amen. The last time the Assyrians came, the Bible says that God sent a rumor and they just left. But this time, God says, I'm going to deal with it differently. And Hezekiah goes to bed that night and he sleeps like a baby. And he wakes up the next morning having heard from God, and he looks over the walls of the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible says there was 185,000 Assyrian soldiers out there, and they were all dead. God sent his angel that night, and the angel of death, like it swept through Egypt, the angel of death swept through that Assyrian army, and 185,000 Assyrians are laying out there dead. You know why? Because there was a man inside the city that had learned that he could trust his God. The Assyrian general, he escapes, goes back home, goes into the house of his God, and before he leaves the house of his God, two of his relatives sneak in there and they kill him. God just dealing with enemies. I'm done. Let me finish with this. What is it that you're dealing with that you keep trying to deal with on your own? What is it that you keep trying to fix? You see, when I preach a message like this, I preach for probably close to 45 minutes. You probably caught about 5 minutes of it. But those 5 minutes were the Holy Spirit speaking to you about your need. That was the Holy Spirit preaching your sermon for this morning. Amen. So I don't have to tell you what your thing is. You know what your thing is. What is the thing that you keep trying to deal with on your own, but you're unable to deal with? I'm not telling you, don't try, don't give effort, don't work, because you've got to do that. What I'm telling you is that maybe you should turn it over to the Lord. And that doesn't mean the enemy will go away, that the challenge will go away, but it means that you'll have God on your side when you face the challenge. So I wonder, as we bow our heads and we begin to pray, we begin to consider our own hearts, what is your challenge? What is your Assyrian army? What is your Assyria this morning? I wonder if there's anybody here dealing with things and they want to just come pray and say, God, I've been dealing with this on my own too long. And today's the day that I turn it over to you. And I'll have to face it tomorrow, but I'll face it with your help. So anybody like that today? Anybody that needs to come and pray? Oh, it could be a sickness. It could be a job situation. It could be a child. It could be there's any number of things. What are you dealing with today? What's your Assyria?